Blog Talk Radio.
Let's talk NBA free agents. Well, we had an
NBA trade. No free agents,
NBA trade. Well, the free agency is driving it, but yeah, let's talk about the trades. We trade deadline passed. We got a lot of wheeling and dealing. Let's just jump right into it.
Well, you know, we're about to be joined by Anthony Donahue, who does the Knicks blog talk and talks Knicks for ESPN New York. So I got to tell you, Ray, out here in Phoenix, they've been going crazy with the pressure, having to trade Zoran Goran Dragic, and they also trade Zoran, and it goes down, and it is intense, and the Heat have done it. Let's bring Anthony in. I think he's with us. And, you know, obviously we got to ask him about the Knicks and Melo and what's going on with that. But even with some of these trades and Brooklyn Nets sending KG back to Minnesota. Anthony, you with us with Ray and Tay today?
What's up, Ray, Tay? How you guys doing?
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. Very excited to have you.
No, always excited to be with you guys. And, you know, one thing about me, besides being a diehard Knicks fan, which I don't shy away of, even though I am a member of the media, but I also love sports, and I love good stories. And, you know, listen, the Timberwolves probably aren't going to win a championship this year or next year, but I think it's really cool that Kevin Garnett's going to go back to Minnesota and finish his career there. I'm not sure if he's going to play past this year or next year. But at least that's
Flip, too.
Yeah, no, with Flip, and that'll probably solidify. And I don't love Kevin Garnett. As a Knicks fan, I can't stand him when he played for the Celtics those years. But, you know, he's a true professional. It's a good story that definitely solidifies him getting his number retired by Minnesota. The fans adore him there. So I have a soft spot for stories like that, and I think it's pretty cool.
And, Anthony, he gets to teach the young pups, which I think is great because they'll learn from such a veteran in terms of his work ethic and toughness and winning. And they say he's going to segue into ownership. So I think
it's great. And let's see if he plays one more year. But I think, like I said, nothing bothers me more in sports than when you see a player that was great for a team, he gets traded or leaves, and now that player doesn't have a relationship with that team anymore. And, you know, it kind of breaks my heart. Like, obviously, Latrell Sprewell to the Knicks wasn't Kevin Garnett to the Wolves, but the Knicks and Latrell Sprewell have zero relationship right now. You know, ultimately because of Spree. Spree kind of acted a little crazy after he got traded, but people forget Latrell Sprewell was an iconic Knick for a five-year span. I'm not saying he was Patrick Ewing, but the Knicks and Sprewell have zero relationship now. And the fan in me hates to see that. I remember, obviously, I'm a big Yankee fan as well. I never saw Yogi Berra play. I don't think you guys did either. But there was a time period for about 15 or 16 years, Yogi Berra never went back to Yankee Stadium. And I remember being a kid, and I was like, why does Yogi never go to Old Timers Day? Or, you know, why does the boss and Yogi hate each other? And they eventually mended their fences, and obviously Yogi has been back to Yankee Stadium a lot since they mended their fences in 1999. But, you know, hate to see things like that, so it's cool that Kevin Garnett is going back there. So many trades went down between, like, 2 and 3 o'clock.
Man,
there's probably a trade you guys could tell me about that I don't even know about yet.
Well, listen, that's what I was going to ask you, because you said the perfect word, mending fences. And we'll get into Melo and Phil Jackson and the Knicks. They didn't really make any major moves. Obviously, we know Amari's joining the Mavericks. But I want to ask you this. There was the rumor, and we'll talk about Goran Dragic and his brother going to the Miami Heat. But there was a rumor that he might want to come to the Knicks and getting traded to the Knicks for Hardaway Jr. and Calderon. It didn't happen. He goes to Miami for 2 first-round picks, 17 and 21, and for Danny Granger. No big deal. But – and probably the biggest deal of the day, Dragic, you know, borderline all-star, should have made it last.
And I would say most likely Dragic will re-sign there.
Yeah, he probably will. He wanted to be more dominant on the ball. He'll be a pure starting point guard there. Norris Cole was shipped out today to the Pelicans. But he still will be the third scoring option. You know, so Phoenix revamped their team, got rid of a bunch of guys.
But I think for Dragic, that's probably what he wants. As long as he can, not necessarily dominate the ball, but, you know, bring the ball up, set guys up. He'll have the ball in his hands a lot. I think that's really what he wants. I don't think he necessarily cares about shooting that much. I think it's more the case that he wants to handle the ball. And with Miami, yeah, obviously Wade handles the ball a lot, but Dragic will be that main point guard, and that's, I think that's what he really wanted.
And he also doesn't want to defend the wing, right? He'd rather be an on-ball defender than go out there and defend those athletic two guards.
Right.
Oh,
exactly.
Definitely. So let me ask you this. The Knicks being inactive, everybody from Bill Simmons and the whole world trying to rip Phil, questioning if he, you know, if he's got the vigor and the energy for this real GM job. Two questions. One, we now know Melo, you know, after 30 minutes of a, you know, whatever All-Star game, 4 to 6 months out, and we now know Phil has got a lot of work on his hands.
Oh,
after All-Star
yeah,
weekend,
does.
What's your feel with the Knicks, and you have the pulse on the Knicks fans, in terms of trusting Phil and getting back Melo and the recruiting of the two of them?
I definitely have the pulse of Knicks fans. And I'll tell you this, guys. I mean, yeah, there's some Knicks fans I talk to that are down on Phil. But I'll tell you what, man, most Knicks fans trust Phil Jackson. I tell you, it's almost
I do.
As a fan, I trust them, but I'm a little weary, a little leery of it. But he definitely has a lot of work to do. You know, we know what he wants. You know, he wants to get the Marcus All, the Jimmy Butler, LaMarcus Aldridge. Who knows if that's going to happen. It's not even about making the big moves this summer. It's about making the right moves to put the right team around Carmelo Anthony. I'm kind of glad the Knicks didn't make any moves today because they really stripped this roster down. I would have liked if they could have got rid of Jose Calderon and his contract. They
right.
didn't. I suppose there's a chance they can move Calderon on draft night or before July 1st and create some more salary cap space. As of now, the Knicks have a ton of cap space going into the summer for the third time since, you know, in the last 20 years. 1996, they had a ton of cap space when they signed Allen Houston, Chris Childs, Buck Williams, and traded for Larry
Johnson
in the summer of 2010 when they signed Amari Stoudemire, but they didn't miss on LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and Joe Johnson, and now the summer of 2015. So, you know, it's a good time. The Knicks are in a good position. It's still mind-boggling to think where the Knicks – what's that?
I'm sorry. No, I was about to say, and they'll have a top five, top six draft pick, hopefully.
Right, and they're going to have a top – you know, I think they're going to probably have a top three draft pick. You know, you could get yourself a franchise-changing player. Maybe if you get the number 3 or 4 pick, you could flip that for a really good player, kind of like what the Boston Celtics did in the 2007 draft when they got
the
fifth pick.
Hey, the fix is in, baby. We're getting Jahlil Okafor. You heard it from Jay.
But obviously, you know, if you get the number 1 pick, you're not flipping that. You're drafting Duke's Jahlil Okafor, and he's hopefully your center for the next 15 years.
There you go. It's already written, Anthony. Don't you know the basketball gods and Adam Silver want New York back? It's happening, baby.
They might even get Dave DeBuscher back to pull out that card.
Yeah, they really should. They really should.
So let me ask you about that. Anthony, two teams that made moves in the West that are real contenders. The Blazers bringing over Aaron Afalo and Alonzo G. Worry about them not really having any size since they got rid of Robinson off their bench. Your thoughts on that? And then also the Thunder getting Enes Kanter, even though they get rid of Reggie Jackson, bringing over DJ Augustine, Novak, our guy from the Knicks, and Enes Kanter. Your thoughts on the
Blazers? Kanter, he's one of those guys. He always ends up on Shaqt and a Fool, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was surprised that a lot of these moves made today, I tell you what, but you know, Novak going to the Jazz, that's very interesting. I thought the most shocking trade to me, though, was Brandon Knight for Michael Carter-Williams. I was shocked about that trade.
Yeah, point guards just changed hands like hot potatoes today.
Right, I was shocked to see Isaiah Thomas moved.
Yeah.
I was completely shocked about that.
Well, the Phoenix Suns, I'll tell you, out here in Arizona, the Phoenix Suns fans are excited about Brandon Knight. He's young. He does have 1 year left.
Right.
You know,
There was a three-team deal with the Suns, Sixers, and Bucks.
Right, right.
The Suns
and,
got
but
Brandon
Knight.
Brandon Knight's a hell of a player. He's a good player. The Bucks are playing so well, though. No one thought the Bucks would be about 7 games over .500 in February, so I was kind of surprised the Bucks dealt Brandon Knight, to be honest. He is such a big part of their success, and it seemed like he was building something with Jabari Parker out there.
Yeah, it was very shocking. I'm surprised. But I guess Jason Kidd wants more of a pure point guard, and the contract of MCW is still on that rookie deal, and Brandon Knight, remember he rejected a $9 million deal, wants more than that. So I guess the Bucks, you know, they saved their owners a little bit of money, and that's good. But with the West, are you surprised the Clippers and the Warriors didn't really do anything for their bench, or do you think they're waiting for Tayshaun Prince buyout, Larry Sanders buyout?
Yeah, I'm surprised those guys didn't do something for their benches. Both those teams' starting lineups are obviously spectacular. Both those teams have a chance to win the championship, but both those teams do have weak benches. Obviously, the Clippers with Jamal Crawford. I mean, Golden State has a solid bench. I mean, you're bringing Andre Iguodala and David Lee off the bench, two former All-Stars. You still want to get a little bit better off that bench. The Clippers' bench is extremely weak after Jamal Crawford. So, yeah, they might be looking to see who other teams release over the next few days or see what happens with guys like Tayshaun Prince, guys like Larry Sanders.
So, Anthony, give the Knicks fans some hope. Realistically, besides Melo and Hardaway Jr., give me 3 to 4 players that will be on this roster next year that you think, you know.
I'll tell you what, guys. One thing I've learned about being in the media, and I guess I've been around this stuff almost 11 years now. I'm not going to give you names because I don't know. And that would be foolish of me. I could tell you 20 names that the Knicks would like to get, but I'm not going to come on your show player X, Y, and Z. I don't know.
No. I'm not talking about signing, Anthony. I'm talking about guys on the roster now that they might keep. Would you keep a Jason?
Oh, that's different. I mean, I guess, you know, I want to see what the Knicks have with Clay Anthony earlier. I'd like to see him get some more time.
Exactly.
I think Langston Galloway is a player, but I don't think he's a starter. I think he's a 7th, 8th man. Possibly Tim Hardaway Jr. You know, maybe you re-sign a Quincy AC. He's a good 9th, 10th man on the team. So it's going to be interesting to see if any players come back, possibly Cole Aldrick. You know, Lou Amundsen, he's another guy. You know, he could be a nice 9th or 10th man on a winning team. No more than that, though.
Right, and even Lance Thomas has played well.
There's a lot of guys in this Knicks roster, but you can't keep them all, that could be extremely beneficial to a good team, being, you know, 8th, 9th, 10th men.
Nice filler pieces.
Right, exactly.
Anthony...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, what do you think so far? I mean, give us your sense, being with the Knicks all the time. How are the Knicks internally? They say Phil is not as involved as other GMs. So what's the feeling around a Knicks camp that, you know,
the feeling a few years ago was that Phil Jackson ran the show. This is Phil's show. But after learning that, you know, Carmelo Anthony, he's basically been hurt since the second game of the season. I mean, once the season gone awry, and the Knicks were, you know, it was early December, the Knicks were 4-20. Phil Jackson should have told Carmelo Anthony to shut it down. He didn't do that. I really thought Phil should have. So now there's this notion going around that Carmelo Anthony is running the show, which I'm not a big fan of, even though I like Melo. I think Phil needed to do a better job in this situation on getting Melo to shut it down for the rest of the year. He should not. Hopefully it's not going to affect Carmelo, but he should not have let him play in that All-Star game. Melo should have been shut down before Christmas.
Yeah, you're probably right about that, Ant. But hopefully he'll have enough time to recover.
You hope so. His hope so.
How do you feel about Fisher?
It's just 4 months, right?
How are you feeling
about Fisher? It's tough to say, man. It's tough to say because, you know, he's a rookie coach. They lost so many games early in the year by 1 or 2 points. I thought he did a bad job with his rotations. But at the same time, he had never coached before. And now you really can't judge him at all because his roster is completely stripped.
That's true.
Yeah, we'll give him an incomplete for now.
Right, exactly.
I wouldn't think anybody, even Phil, would do a much better job with this roster. And especially, like you said, Carmelo's been hurt. Everybody says, Carmelo's playing. Carmelo's not himself. He's at, I don't know, 60, 70% since the first week of the season.
Right, definitely. Exactly. No, I mean, it's tough to say. Fisher definitely gets an incomplete, no question about that.
All right, Ant, listen, thanks for jumping on us. We'll have you back on before the season ends, you know, clean up things with New York and the NBA and look towards the playoffs. And we appreciate you jumping on, you know, with the trade deadline coming and some Knicks talk. We always love having
you on.
Anytime
you guys need me, let me know.
All right, man. Keep up the good work.
You got it, guys.
Take care, man.
Take care.
All right, that was Anthony Donahue from ESPN New York and Knicks Block Talk Radio with Ray and Tay. And, hey, thanks for talking NBA trades with us, and we'll get back with you soon. Mm-hmm.